We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Toyein Venitan, Halacha Gimel. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Shulchan Aruch, which says, Hanoishe b'chaveiroi mono, v'chaveiroi b'chaveiroi. When one person, when Shimon owes Reuven $100, and Levi owes Shimon $100, then Moitzian Mizeh, Venoisin Lozeh. Besdin has the authority to take from Levi and give to Reuven. Midah Reb Nosson, based on the a halacha that was stated by Reb Nosson. The Gemara calls this Shibuda de Reb Nosson. Shenemar, and he learns it out from a pasuk, Venosan la asher osham loi. He will give the money to the one who the money is owed to, whoever it is, even if it involves skipping a step sometimes. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Zeh, this halacha mevoyer al pi ma shekosu b'maymar hamaschil tiku hamedaber me'emuna b'likutei tanino. This halacha will be understood based on the chapter in Likutei Moran that begins with the word tiku, tiku b'chodesh shofar. This is one of the Rosh Hashanah shirim that Rabbeinu Zal gave, which is based on the topic of Emuna, chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Ayin shom besoif ha-maimar, take a look at the end of that chapter in Likutei Moran, me'inyin tikun ha-mishpot, where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this topic of tikun ha-mishpot. Rabbeinu Zal says that one of the main problems in Klal Yisrael, one of the main problems in the world that's keeping Moshiach from coming, is the fact that the mishpat, justice, is messed up. And there's all kinds of variations, all kinds of versions of mishpat me'ukol, or mekulkol, as Rabbeinu Zal refers to it. And when we fix the mishpat, when we correct the mishpat, that will make it possible for Mashiach to come, for Klal Yisrael to have its tikkun. There's a pasuk that says, Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shoveho b'tzdoka. Tzion, Yerushalayim, will be redeemed with mishpat, when the mishpat will be in good working order. Ve'isa shom, Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, bedibur hamaschil, in the paragraph that begins with the words, ube'emes hu dovor godol ma'oid lahashlich me'itoi kol ha'chochmois. Rabbeinu Zal says there that the truth is, it's a very great accomplishment if a person could remove from themselves all the chachmas and conduct themselves with tmimus, with simplicity, simple sincerity. And Rabbeinu Zal over there leads into saying that through this tmimus and pshitus, through this we're able to achieve tikun hamishpat, to correct the mishpat. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says, Tohoim el tohoim koire abba meimecha, that one depth of the earth calls out to the other depth and says, give forth your waters, shehu hamishpat. And the waters there refers to mishpat, justice. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, v'yigal kamayim mishpat, that the mishpat, the justice, will flow like water. So we see the comparison between mishpat and mayim. Hainu, hamishpat shenofal ad hatohim, this refers to justice, which has fallen so far down to the point where it's all the way in the tohim. Tohim means the lowest depths. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, mishpotecho tohoim rabo, your justice will be in the tohoim. Kimalin hamishpot min hatohimois alidei hatmimus, because Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran that through tmimus, through real honesty and sincerity and simplicity, the word tmimus, that one word in Lashon Kodesh, requires 10 words in the English language, you know, to describe it. But three of the best words that put it sort of in perspective are what we just said, that tmimus is a combination of an honesty combined with simplicity, combined with sincerity. And through that combination, we're able to achieve tikkun hamishpat. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to elaborate on this. And with this, we'll understand the halacha that tells us that Beis Din has the authority to extract money from Levi and give it to Reuven, even though Levi says, I don't know Reuven, I never met him, I never had any dealings with him whatsoever, I don't know him. Beis Din says, it doesn't matter, we know him. You owe money to Shimon, Shimon owes money to Reuven, we're going to take money from you, Levi, and give it to Reuven. Sheyesh koyach b'mishpo digdusho shel Beis Din Tzedek, there is power and authority in the holy justice of a righteous Beis Din, shehu b'chinas tikun ha-mishpot, which represents good mishpot, lehalois ha-mishpot me'imke tohoimois, to elevate the mishpot from the lowest depths that it might have fallen to. B'b'chinas tohoim el tohoim koire, as the Pasuk says, that one tohoim calls out to the other one, referring to the mishpot that has fallen to such low places. This is the concept of this ability to extract from one person and give to a different one. Because Beis Din, which represents holy mishpat, has the ability to elevate the mishpat from wherever it has fallen, however far down it has fallen, and make a tikkun for it. This also explains how Beis Din has the ability to give a legal document to a lender when it's coming to collect. Sheyelech v'yechapes b'chol mokoim sheyimtzo nichse haloive, that the lender should go and do research in any places where the borrower might have sold properties or given away things during the period of the loan. Sheyotziem liatzmoi, that the lender should have the authority to go to those people and to take the property away from them in order to cover the loan that he extended to the person. Ki kol zeh hu b'chinas koyach ha-mishpot digdusha shel Beis Din Tzedek. These are all examples of the power of holy justice of a kosher Beis Din, sheyesh lehem koyach levarer ha-mishpot me'imkei tohoimois, that they have the ability to clarify the mishpat from wherever it has drifted to. This is the concept of they take from A and give to B. This is tied into that pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal quotes. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about a time when the mishpat has fallen. It's not, the justice is not in its proper place. And Rabbeinu Zal brings a pasuk that refers to two very low places, tohoim and tohoim, two tohoims calling out to each other, saying, pass on your waters, transfer your waters. And Rabbi Nosson Zal says, that this is a remez to the authority of the Beis Din, in order to make justice, in order to establish justice, that they have the ability to reach out or reach down to wherever they have to and effect a transfer of monies. Dahainu, what that pasuk is hinting to is this concept of hachzer v'hoitze hamishpot shenofel elecha, return and give back, you know, the mishpat that has fallen into your hands. Dehainu hamomain shel hamalve harishon, meaning Reuven's money, the money of the first lender. Reuven lent Shimon and Shimon lent Levi. Hamagia loy al pi din u'mishpat tzedek, which that money is coming to Reuven based on law, based on justice. Shenofal haloive, however, the Shimon, the borrower, has fallen. Ume haloive la haloive sheni. And the money and Shimon ended up extending a loan to Levi, sheze bechinas nefilas hamishpot mitohim to l'tohim. This is similar in concept to what Rabbeinu Zal discusses about the mishpat, the justice falling from one time to another. And a proper bezin has the power to elevate the mishpat and remove it from these tohimois. And they have the authority to return the money which is coming to Reuven based on real justice, to return the money to its original owner, to Reuven. As the Pasuk says, V'nosan la'asher osham loy. He will give the money to the one whom he owes it to. Shetzrichin lahamid hamishpot al mechoinoy. We have to establish the mishpot in its proper place. Ulahalois hamishpot me'imkei tohoimois. And to be able to bring up the mishpot from whatever, however far down it's fallen. And now Rav Nosson Zal analyzes and explains this on a deeper level. Ki ikara halvois nimshochim mipigam nefilas hamishpot. Because the whole concept of loans, people having to borrow money, is the result of a fallen mishpat, a pigamin mishpat. Shemishom ikra hanius. That's what causes poverty. Shal yideze muchrochen lilvo yisechot mechaveroi, which forces people sometimes to borrow from each other, to borrow. Ki pigam hamishpat. Zebechinas ma she'ein yoidin ha'hasogo shel tzadik v'toiv loy v'rosh v'ra loy. Because Rabbeinu Zal tells us over there that the Gemara emphasizes that there's a pasuk ki hamishpat lelikim hu, that justice is from Hashem. And one of the struggles that people have is when they see good people suffering and they see bad people seeming to have it easy and good. The concept of tzadik v'toivloi, rosh v'raloi, tzadik v'raloi, rosh v'toivloi, where people assume that if a person who they perceive to be a good person, a righteous person, should have a good life, should have everything, they should have blessing from Hashem. And a person who's a bad person should have pain and suffering and illness from Hashem. And yet very often, it appears to be different. It seems to us on earth here very often that we see people who we perceive to be very good people going through all kinds of suffering, struggle, and difficulty, and people who we perceive to be bad people seeming to have things very good. And so this is the mishpat, where people sometimes look at the mishpat of Hashem and they question it, chas v'shalom, they doubt it. And that's a concept of pigam, chas v'shalom, when we doubt Hashem's justice. So Rav Nosson Zal says, ki pigam hamishpat, ze b'chinas ma she'ein yoidin ha'hasogo shel tzadik v'toiv loy, rosh v'ra loy, v'chulum. Pigam hamishpat is that when people, Jews, are not on a level to understand and agree completely with how Hashem is doing business, that whether the tzaddik has things going good for him and the rasha has things bad for him, or sometimes the opposite. Ve'inyan ze nimshach misoid gilgulei neshamos kimavur bezoyer kodesh. We know that one of the major factors that causes this is gilgulim, reincarnations. The fact that when we see a person in front of us today, we only see their current visit to earth. We don't know that this person has already been here 5 times or 50 times earlier. And we don't know what that person has done in previous reincarnations that's affecting how that person is living today, whether they're having things good, going well for them or not well for them, chas v'shalom. It's interesting, some of the Meforshim point out that in the Zohar HaKadosh, one of the places in the Zohar HaKadosh where it elaborates most on this topic of Gilgulim is in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. And the commentaries point out that it's because of this reason, it's exactly because of what Rav Nosson Zal's pointing out here. Because Parshas Mishpatim deals with Mishpat, justice, people borrowing and lending and people hurting other people and all kinds, all the different flavors and variations of Mishpat, Mishpatim, justice. So the Zohar HaKadosh chooses that to be the place where they speak about Gilgulim, because one of the main factors that we don't see, that we're not aware of, that affects Mishpat, is this Soid HaGilgul. The fact that we see a person today, we see him as a terrible person or a good person, and we're wondering why. Why is Hashem giving the bad people good tidings? And the good? But what we don't see is what that person has experienced earlier. Shezeh Bechinas, Zeh She'omru, L'Rabbi Elazar Ben Pedos. This is also tied in with a Gemara in Tainus, towards the end of Tainus, where the Gemara says that one of the rabbis, Rabbi Elazar Ben Pedos, who was a tzaddik, he was a very, very righteous person, and he experienced extreme poverty. And the Gemara says at one point he was crying, mamish crying, that it's so difficult. And he had a dream, and in his dream, Hashem appeared to him, and Hashem said to him, if you want, I'll destroy the world and recreate it, and maybe you'll be born at a time when of wealth, you know, where you'll be able to be rich. Ibois de icharuv alma, if you want me to destroy the world, the efshur de ivreis beshato de mezaina, and then when we create it anew, maybe you'll be born at a time of parnasa, at a time of shefa. The isa b'tikunim, and the tikune zoyar, which presents that gemara also, tells us, shezeh soid hagilgul, that what Hashem was referring to when he said destroy the world, a person is a world. Each and every person is called oilam koton, a mini world. Sheyizgalgel beguf acher. What Hashem was saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos was, maybe you want to die now, come back again, be reincarnated again in a different body, shehu bechinas oilam acher, which means a different world, and maybe in the next Gilgul, you'll experience wealth, you'll have parnosa. So the Gemara says there that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos asked, how much more time do I have to live? Implying, if I have a long time to live, then maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's worth it to go now because I don't know how much more of this I can handle. But if not, if it's short time, I'll just leave things the way they are. And Hashem responded to him that it's a short time, and Kavyochel Hashem gave him a flick, you know, like Hashem had nachas from his answer, that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos was willing to accept what he's going through at that point in time. And Rabbeinu Zal in Likutei Moran quotes this Gemara and quotes this Zohar HaKadosh, telling us that this is one of the major factors that we need to know when we're analyzing the justice of Hashem. Nimtzo, we see therefore, She'ikar chisoron haparnoso, v'ho'anius, v'ha'halvois, hu'rak mitzad ha'gilgul, that the difficulties and struggles that Jews experience in parnasa, poverty, having to borrow money, having to lend money, is tied into the secret of Gilgul, reincarnation. Shehu bechinas galgal shechoizer boilam. The Gemara refers to this also as a wheel that turns round and round in the world, the wheel of fortune, the wheel of fortune and misfortune. Ukemuva b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal simen yudalid, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 14 in Likutei Moran, al maimar Rabba Bar Bachana, regarding the story of Rabba Bar Bachana there, where it says galgalohu dohodar, it's a wheel that comes around, shehi gilgula dinishmosin. The word galgal means wheel, the word gilgul means reincarnation. And it's the same concept. It's the concept of a person starting over, going another round. Shemishom nimshochim tzadik v'toivloi, tzadik v'raloi, rosha v'toivloi, rosha v'raloi. And that's the secret many times of why we see people having it good, people having it bad. We don't know. One of the things that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us is that just like Lahavdil, when an inventor comes out with an invention, a new car, a new type of metal, let's say, that they're going to use in production, in order to test it, to see its worthiness, they take this metal and they put it first, they put it through extreme heat to see if it can handle that. Then they take the metal and put it through extreme cold to see if it can handle that without cracking. Before they put this into production, before they're going to use this and know that they can depend on it and rely on it, they put it through all the different phases. Or a car, you know, they run it through all kinds of tests to make sure. Lahavdil, a neshama, a soul, before the neshama can be worthy of Gan Eden, Olam Haba, Hashem takes the neshama and puts it through all the different things. Extreme poverty, extreme wealth, different tests that a person has to go through in different Gilgulim in order for the person to get to the finish line, in order for the person to get to where they're supposed to get to. And we watching this on earth, we look at it and we don't understand. Why? Why? What did this person do? And we don't understand that this is part of a long process that's all about the complete tikkun for that neshama, for that soul. And because of this, soid hagilgul, and because of the mishpat, this is what forces that there should be poverty and loans and v'chol hakfirois shebein adam l'chaveroi, and all the different examples of denials between people. You know, a person denies that he borrowed the money, or I returned it already. Shehu pegam hamishpat, which are examples of a defective mishpat. Sheroitze ligzol mamon chaveroi sheloi b'mishpat, where somebody is trying to take somebody else's money in an unjust way. What do you mean? That's not your money. I lent you the money. You owe it to me. Ze nimshach gam kein misoid gilgulei haneshamos. This is also tied into the secret of the reincarnations of souls. Because the fact that a person desires somebody else's money and wants to take away that money, usually it's because A has a connection to that money based on reincarnations. Could be in a previous reincarnation, A gave B money, A lent B money, which B didn't return. And that's why when they come back to the world now, A is looking for a way to take money from B in order to restore, to get back the money that B didn't give to him in a previous reincarnation. Sheze b'chinas shemo sofek milva yeshona yesh lo yalov. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is another interpretation of what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that sometimes when Shimon denies that Reuven lent him money, the reason why he's denying it is because he knows that him and Reuven have been buddies for years. And they've been through this kind of thing many times, that sometimes Reuven lends Shimon money, sometimes Shimon lends Reuven money, all the time. And now Reuven is coming to claim that Shimon owes him $1,000. Shimon right now is in a tight situation. Usually $1,000 isn't a big deal for him. If Reuven says he owes it to him, and Reuven has a shtar, Shimon will give it to him. But because Shimon right now is in a really tight spot where he doesn't have the money, it causes Shimon to think. And Shimon says, you know, who knows? Maybe I lent Reuven money a couple of months ago or a couple of years ago that I forgot about, and maybe he owes me the money. I'm coming to court. He's taking me to court now. The first thing I'm going to do is deny. I'm going to deny that I owe him this $1,000. Because maybe there's a milvi yeshana, maybe in months ago or years ago, I lent him money and I forgot to collect it, or et cetera, et cetera. So Rav Nosson Zal says that the milvi yeshana could refer also to a previous reincarnation. That when Shimon denies that he owes Reuven money, sometimes it could be because Shimon's soul senses that it has a claim against Reuven. That in a previous reincarnation, Reuven owed Shimon money that he never gave him back. Hainu Milvi Yeshona Besoid HaGilgul. And there are stories like this, especially in the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Hasidus. There are stories about tzaddikim where situations came up with money that seemed totally, totally impossible to understand. What's going on? And the tzaddik revealed to the players involved that the reason why he got his money is because in a previous Gilgul, this and this happened, and that's why he had to return this money to him now. Ki ikar kol hataivos bisharoshon heim dvorim kidoishim ugvoyim oid. Because the whole concept of desire, that people desire different things, Rav Nosson Zal says, in its origin, is a very holy item. It's a very high level. It's not stam. We know that the soul, the word soul, nefesh, means desire. There's a pasuk in Chumash where Avraham Avinu says to Ephron, if you desire to sell me the Moras HaMapela, then let's make a deal. He says, im yesh es nafshechem likboir es mesi, if you want to allow me to bury my wife, then let's do it. So the word nefesh means to want, to desire. And Rav Nosson Zal reveals here that when a person wants something, sometimes that could be coming not from the body, from bodily desires, from materialistic desires. Sometimes it's the soul that's craving it. The soul recognizes that it needs this item to complete itself. It needs that money that the other person has. What do you mean you want his money? You have your money. No. The soul recognizes that this money that's in that person's possession is really mine. It really belongs to me based on a previous Gilgul. Raklamato, however, when it comes down into this physical materialistic world, nizgashim, everything becomes gashmius, it becomes physical, it becomes materialistic. V'osur lanu likach shum davar koidim zmanoi. And therefore, we are not allowed to take anything before the time comes when we're supposed to receive it. Person can't say, I desire this, it must mean it's mine, so I'll just take it. Can't do that. Ve'ikar kol hachatoim v'hapigomim nimshochim mima shememaharin likach hadovor koidim zmanoi. Rav Nosson Zal here makes a statement which he mentions in many places in Likutei Halachos, and there are many sforim that write about this. This is one of the main yesoidos in Yiddishkeit, in life, that a person needs to know. That the main thing that's behind most sins and mistakes that people make in life is the fact that they try to take something before the right time. The person doesn't overcome and control their desire, lahamtin, to wait at sheyovoi itoy beheter, until the time will arrive when they'll be able to get that same thing in a kosher, in a legal kosher manner. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Akiva one time, that a woman, I think a non-Jewish woman, was sent to tempt him in an incredible way, using every kind of trick in the book to seduce him, to get him to commit a sin. And Rabbi Akiva ended up passing the test with flying colors. He rejected her completely, completely. And what happened was, at the time when she did this, he spit and he smiled. So she asked him afterwards, Tento, why? So he said he spit at the fact that the physical, materialistic temptation, that it's nothing, and he smiled a knowing smile, that because he was passing this test, she would come to him in a legal manner. He would end up marrying her in a kosher, 100% kosher way at a later point. And it was only because he had the ability to hold out, to wait, not to take the item in an illegal manner, that he ended up receiving it on a platter in a kosher manner. As the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, for those who are learning Daf Yomi, that's the Gemara we're learning now. Bishimcha yikra'ucha, they call you by your name. Ubimkoimcha yoshivucha, and they seat you in your place. Umishelcha yitnu lecha, and from that which is yours, from that which really belongs to you, they will give you what is yours. meaning sometimes when a person is attracted to something, they want something, that, but it's illegal, it's wrong. The person needs to know, if it's really mine, I'm going to get it. Just not today, tomorrow, when the right, Hashem knows when it's the right time for me to get it. And if I try to cross boundaries to take it in an illegal manner, chas v'shalom, I can only cause tremendous harm to myself and to the whole picture. This is Rav Nosson Zal, when he explains Geneva and Gzela in Yoredeya, he puts tremendous emphasis on this, that the main test of a Jew in this world is the ability to wait. Usually, all the injustices that people perceive, whether it be somebody took something, somebody has something that belongs to me, it should really be mine, or somebody insulted me or embarrassed, all kinds of injustice that people perceive, when they try to correct it by themselves, they try to fix it at before the right time, they just make things worse. They're pouring oil on the fire. And if they wait, usually the thing gets fixed by time heals. With time, Hashem puts everything back in the right place. V'alkein ikar hachet horishoin, shehu chet odom horishoin, hoyorak ma shelo yhimtin bezivugo yad Shabbos. And this is why the Torah tells us that the main sin of Adam HaRishon was the fact that he did not wait regarding having relations with Chava. They were created on Friday. All he had to do was wait till Friday night, till Shabbos. And if he would have waited till Friday night to be together with Chava, everything would have been perfect. And because they didn't wait, and they united during the 6 days of the week while it was still Friday, not Shabbos, that's what caused all kinds of problems. V'alkein nekroim hachatoim b'shem boiser. And this is why one of the nicknames that's used in the Torah to refer to sins is an unripe fruit. Shehu pri shelo nigmar adayin. It's a fruit that has not yet fully ripened. K'may shekos yoichlu boiser. Parents will eat unripe fruits. Ki ikar hachet humachmas shalokeh hadover b'loitoi. Because the main sin, the main mistake, the main injustice, the pegama mishpat is a person trying to take something before the right time. Ube'emes, the real truth is der ikar ho'es lahasig tam hatoiv amiti. A person who's looking to have things good, to have things go well, to have everything go smooth, they have to wait till the next world. They have to wait till the future, because that's when everything's going to be good, everything's going to be proper, everything's going to be right. This world is called the Olam HaSheker. So if you see what you perceive to be injustice in this world, that's normal. That makes sense. Because this is the world of injustice. Things don't necessarily get straightened out completely in this world. They get straightened out completely in the next world. V'ashrei mi shemamtin u'mesapek al tavosoi kol yemei olam hazeh. Lucky, fortunate is the person who has the ability to wait and controls all their desires. But I want it now. But I want it, but I need it. Wait. Wait till the next world. The person closes his eyes completely from looking at all the temptations of this world, all the things that are available or that could be available now in this world. And waits for the eternal goodness. People say, who doesn't want a good life? Who doesn't want to have it easy? Who doesn't want to have nice things? People don't know that there are two worlds. There's this world and there's the next world. And this world is not defined as the place of goodness and the place of wonderfulness and sweetness and pleasure and retirement. There is no, this world is called the Olam HaSheker, the world of turbulence, the world of injustice and everything. So if a person knows that up front, then they know, I have to try to stay as unconnected, as disconnected from this world as possible. I have to close my eyes as much as possible and be willing to wait for the next world. That's where everything will be beseder. That's where everything is good. No side effects, no harmful effects from wealth and from other things. Umamtin latoiv hanitzchi, and the person waits for the eternal goodness. As the Pasuk says in Tzfanya chapter 3, Lochein chakuli, therefore wait for me, Leyoim kumi laad, to the day when I will be established permanently, when Hashem's righteousness and justice will be established permanently. Ki bevadai yizke letainug huamiti, letainug hanitzchi, because a person who lives a proper life, a person who does the right things, will definitely get to have real pleasure and eternal pleasure. When? In the future, in Olam Haba. Aval gam boilam hazeh, yesh dvorim she'ikar ho'isru humashenu mamtim. However, even while we're in this world, in the materialistic world, there are sins, there are mistakes that people make, where the main mistake is that the person didn't wait. They grabbed. They took the thing before the right time. Ve'im yamtin adboi itoi. And if the person will be willing to wait for the right time to come, yekabel beheter. They will receive that same thing that yesterday was illegal. Yesterday was treif. They'll receive it in a perfectly legal, kosher manner. As the Gemara says about that story with Rabbi Akiva, that same bed that she spread out for him, that she prepared for him in an illegal manner, she ended up making that same bed for him to marry her in a 100% legal, kosher manner. And because he was willing to overcome the temptation to take something during its illegal state, to take it before the right time, he received the same item in a perfectly kosher manner. This is an incredible, important thing, because people suffer so much in life because of things that they want, that they perceive that they want it, they need it, I have to have it, and they don't know that if they will do the right thing, if they'll go about life the proper way, they're going to get that plus. Hashem has all the goodness in the world to give a person, all the reward. It's just a matter of timing. And the only one who knows the right timing is Hashem or the true tzaddikim. They know when it's the right time. And if a person dares to try to force something to be doicheikes hasho, it's called, to try to take something before the right time, there's all kinds of catastrophe and trouble that comes from it. Vaklal, Rav Nosnal says that to summarize this, ki ikar koyach habaldovor shemesis esodom letayvo oy ledvar averach asishon hu rak machma sheyesh lezeh odom eize shaychis lezeh oinim kefi shoroshi haneshomois. Rav Nosnal is revealing a tremendous secret here. He's saying you should know that what gives the Yetzer Hara the power to get you to want something, to desire something in a strong way, when it's not necessarily good for you, can only be if your soul does have a connection to that item. That item does belong to you. There is a certain connection between you and that item. It's just that the person is required at this point in time to control themselves, to exercise self-control and to hold back and to wait, to be willing to wait ad yovoi itoi, until the time will come when it'll be the right time for me to receive that car, that house, that wife, that wealth, that health. One possibility is that the right time will come even while the person is living in this physical materialistic world, shikabel dovar zebeheter, that the person will receive that item that they're craving, that they feel they need, in a perfectly legal, kosher manner. Oy lefoamim, eino yochel kabel ze kim boilam habo. And sometimes the person will not be able to receive that item while they're physically living in this world. They'll have to wait till the next world. If the person will be able to stand up to the test, and to break the desire for that item right now, that I need, I want it now, they'll be able to control that completely, then then in the next world, the person will be able, you mean they have Ferraris up there? They have Ferraris and they have strawberry shortcake up there in heaven? No, they don't. But what makes the Ferrari exciting, the spiritual life in a Ferrari, that makes it so attractive to some people, the Ferrari or the Rolls Royce or the strawberry shortcake, that they do have in Olam Haba. And if a person is supposed to get that, they'll get in Olam Haba, they'll get the source of where the Ferrari gets its excitement, its beauty, its pizzazz, its whole thing. Lekabel ulesanig mishoyre shatayne gazeh b'sharoshe bruchnis. Shehu oyer tzach umetzuchzach, which is a very pure, holy, heavenly light. Tanug ruchni, a spiritual pleasure. Tanug amiti, a real pleasure, not a temporary high. Person gets a Ferrari, and it lasts a few days, they're high on it, and then after a few days, they're not so excited. It doesn't turn them on anymore. It doesn't excite them anymore. It's good. They're happy. They like it. But it's nothing like when they first got it, that first time they got behind the wheel and all the neighbors saw them driving that car. Whoa, you know. V'zeh shekosuv. And this is why the pasuk says, loisashoik es reyecho. Don't steal from your friend. Reyecho dafko. Look at the word that the pasuk uses. V'chein loisachmoid beis reyecho. Don't desire the house of your friend. It uses the word reyecho daiko. Ki kol echot yesh loy chemdo lebeis reyehu daiko. Because every single person has a desire for the house of their friend. Specifically, friend means somebody that's close to you. Hainu shehu reyehu v'chaveroi b'sharoshoi. Kifi gilgulei neshamos. We're talking about your friend, meaning part of your soul. In Gilgul, in the gilgulei neshamos, there's a connection between you and that person. Umachma shebegilgul harishon hayazeh amoin shaloi. And because of the fact that in a previous reincarnation, this money was yours, this Ferrari was yours, this thing was yours. Ukiyotze b'zeh kama b'chinos, all the different variations of this. That's why today I feel a desire, a craving for this house that my friend has, because again, in a previous Gilgul, that house was mine. That thing belonged to me. However, the truth is that the Torah warns us about this. Ki osur liga b'shel chaveroi. You're not allowed to touch something that belongs to somebody else. Afal pishu chaveroi v'reyehu b'sharoshoi mitzad ha-gilgul. Even though your buddies, even though your partners in Gilgul, your neshamos are very much connected to each other. Afal pikein ze ha-mishpot lelikim. The justice in deciding who gets it now and who had it before and who gets it later, only Hashem knows that. The Sifrei Kabbalah explained that sometimes it's like an assembly line, that there are certain things, certain possessions, that for a certain period of time it has to be in the possession of A, and he affects a certain tikkun on it, and as soon as he finishes doing what he has to do with it, they take it from him and move it on to B. It goes to B. And B has to work on it for a period of time to affect his tikkun on it. And then it goes along to C. Vashem Yisborach Yoidea Talumos. Hashem is the one who knows all the secrets. He knows what's behind everything. Eich l'sader hamomayin v'chafotzim b'chol dor v'dor. How to organize the money and all the possessions in each and every generation. Who's supposed to have the house now and who's supposed to get it later? And how inheritance gets passed on. You have cases of a person who passes away and it seems clearly that the house is going to go to, and then suddenly the house goes to somebody. And you wonder, like, how could this happen? I don't understand. And you don't know that Hashem has a plan. Hashem has a reason why things have to go a certain exact way. Why the money has to be in this person's possession and then they'll go to that one at an exact moment. The osur ligzoil v'lashek es chaveroi. And therefore we need to know that since we don't know all of these secrets, we are not allowed to take anything illegally from anybody. V'afilu lachmoid hu isur chomor. And even to desire something that somebody else has is a major sin. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Rak tzrichin lahamin b'Hashem Yisborach. But rather, we have to have faith in Hashem. Ki yeshorim darkei Hashem. That the ways of Hashem are just and righteous. U'lekabel mishpotoi bi'avo. And to accept Hashem's justice with love, with satisfaction. And to be totally happy and satisfied with what Hashem has given me, whatever portion Hashem has given me. Paragraph Gimel. Nimtza, we see therefore, She'ikar ha'gzela v'ha'kfira, that the whole concept of people stealing or denying things that are true, denying that somebody lent me money and things like that, this is all related to this mess up in Mishpat, the injustice. Shenimshach machma she'ein maminim beyishras darkei Hashem, which is all based on the fact that people do not have complete faith in Hashem's justice, that Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. And if this person has this money, then it's his. Then it needs to be by him, period. Even though it seems to me that that really belongs to me, I'm supposed to have that. He's not supposed to have anything. That should really be mine. People don't, that all of these problems come about by kilkul ha-mishpat, by people not believing, not having complete faith, that Hashem mishpotov asher drochov u'mishpotov nifloi moid, that the ways of Hashem and Hashem's justice is incredible. It's profound. Ve'yefsher lahasigam, and it is impossible for us to understand the justice of Hashem. Dehainu mashiyesh tzadik v'toiv loy tzadik v'ra loy, that sometimes we see good people having a good life, and sometimes we see good people having what's a bad life. Shezehu soid gilgulei haneshamos. This is all tied into the secret of Gilgul. Shemishom nimshach ho'anius v'avois. That's what's really behind all the different scenarios where people are poor and people have to borrow and lend. V'chol ha'nisyonos shel kol ha'chemdois v'ataivos, and all the tests that people have of desires, where people want what's not theirs, people want what belongs to somebody else. V'alkein ikar ha'tikun al yedei ha'tmimus b'li shum chochmos. And therefore the only way to handle this properly is for a person to strive for tmimus, simplicity, simple means that less is more, to try to live in this materialistic world with as little as possible, not to keep your eyes closed as much, not to look at what everybody else has, what this one has, not to look and not to think, why does this one have, why doesn't it, all of these questions, put it aside. Yaakov ish tam, our forefather Yaakov Avinu was great for his tmimus. Even though he was very smart and a big tzaddik, he was simple. Simple, Simon says. Hashem says he should have this house. Good luck. What it has nothing to do with me. Bli shum chachmois, without trying to analyze. Shaydezeh zoichen letikun hamishpot. If a person can achieve real tmimus, through this they'll be zoichen to rectify the mishpot, v'nestakein hakoil, and everything will get fixed. Ki tzrichen lehisnaik rak betmimus al pi ha-toira, because a Jew has to conduct themselves only with simplicity, sincerity, honesty, following the Torah, shenikreis mishpat, the Torah which is called mishpat, bechinas tikun ha-mishpat. Now the Torah is the perfection of mishpat. The pasuk says mishpatei Hashem emes. Nimtza, we see therefore, kishahaloi ve'goizel chaveroi, ve'enoi mesalik loi, when if Shimon borrowed $1,000 from Reuven, and now Shimon doesn't want to give it back, he's not returning the money to Reuven, ze bechinas pegama mishpat. That's an example of defect, of injustice. V'habezn she'oisen mishpat, and the bezn who analyzes the situation and comes to the conclusion that Reuven is telling the truth and Shimon is lying. U'mechapsen benichse aloive, and bezn does a search to look for any possessions that Shimon has, limtsoy mokoim lahagbo islamal vechoiva, to give Reuven the ability to collect that $1,000, even if Shimon doesn't have the cash. No problem. We'll take your boat, we'll take your house, we'll take anything that you sold, that you had at the time that you borrowed the money, that you gave away or you sold in the interim. Ze bechinas tikna mishpat. This is an example of the bezdin rectifying, fixing the mishpat. Shemalin hamishpat min hatohimois. They're elevating the mishpat from the depths. Mikol mokum shenofalasham, from however far down the mishpat has fallen. Afilu min halakuchais. Even from a purchaser, a buyer, someone who bought property from Shimon during that period of time. Umi lekuchas de lekuchas. And even if Levi bought from Shimon and Yehuda bought from Levi, Besen will follow that chain and they'll go 100 links to get to something that Shimon owned when he first borrowed that money, and to take it away from wherever they have to take it away from and give it to Reuven. This is the shibud of the Reb Nosson that the Gemara speaks about, that they take out. We take from A and give to B. This is tied into the pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal quotes over there in Likutei Moran, that one tohoim calls out to the other tohoim saying, give back. Shemoitzien hamishpot mizeh lozeh, we extract the justice from one to the other, from however far it's fallen, and we establish the justice in its righteous place. Amen v'amen. May we be zocheh to see this, Mitzvah Shem.